Hallelujah. Lord, just come into this place tonight, Lord, and show us that refreshing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, as we continue in this warfare against principalities and powers, as we give ourselves to stand in the gap as watchmen in this hour, truly aware of the souls of our children, our little ones, in this damnable, perverse generation, we stand before you, Lord, and we ask for more grace. We ask for the refreshing to be able to stand and having done all to stand. Let the little ones lift up their eyes and see watchmen on the walls. Faithful men. People who are crying out to our God to deliver and preserve and protect our babies. Conscious of this warfare and what it takes to finish this course and to stand in this hour. Lord, when we see the sword, that we would cry with all of our hearts, that we would be moved with compassion and empathy, and take hold of those that are around us that are fainting and share with them the peril that's at hand. We'll save some, Lord, and the others' blood will not be upon our hands. We need to understand, Father, the urgency. To and fro. To and fro. To and fro, distracted and unaware of the traps that are being laid, the dangers that are at every corner. We ask for more grace. And then, Father, as we stand and we boldly declare your word, we ask you to come among us and confirm this word with signs following. It's your word. It's your word. You went with them and confirmed the words that they spoke with signs following. It's your word. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they shall. Father, we have nothing to pray about. We don't need to seek your face. Not one of us can cry out and say, Lord, is it me? Are you speaking to me? They shall. It's your mandate. You've commissioned us to go into the world and preach this gospel. Oh, give us more grace. Cause a boldness to rise up in us that we would speak your word and that you would confirm it by stretching forth your hand, Lord Jesus, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of the Holy Child of God. that men would look and see and glorify you, Lord. Wake us from any slumber. Deliver us from all apathy. Forgive us for losing our first love and the pearl of great price. There was a day when we walked away from all of it. We chose you first. Lord, let us love you as you deserve to be loved. Let us worship you, for you are worthy. Father, you are our Father. Abba, you have compassion for us as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord has pity upon us and mercy upon us. You know our frame, Lord. We're just dust. And so we draw on your mighty power and your love for us. And we ask you to cause us to stand. We ask, Lord, that we would not only stand in the gap for our little ones, but those that you love, Father, that we're within arm's reach. Give us compassion for the lost, Father. Don't let us walk past one person without compassion rising up in our hearts. We must work the works while it's day. The night's coming when no man can work. Now, Father, we ask these things that you might be glorified here in our midst. Oh, Lord, a place where your name would be preeminent. Where there would be a delight in coming into your house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. That we would run to your presence, that all else would be cast aside, that we might find time in your presence and bathe in your majesty and your righteousness and your holiness, that we would be taken into your arms, Lord, and know the compassion and the passion of our God. That we would access that presence, that we would come boldly under the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Lord, that great favor, help in the time of need. All that's left to do is for us to come. You've made the way. We just need to stop running to and fro and set our face like a flint upon your presence and grasp in our hearts your promises and declare we will not be denied. I will not let you go until you've blessed me. Be glorified, Father, and we'll praise you and we'll give you all the honor. For you are surely worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your mercies and your grace and your long-suffering. We thank you for your compassion upon us. We didn't seek you, you sought us. And even at this moment, you ever live to make intercession for us. We are never off your mind. Your thoughts are always toward us. How can I strengthen them? How can I deliver them? How can I purify them? How can I prepare them? Oh, Father, help us to move from the restraints of time and space and give us an eternal perspective. We see it finished. We've laid down the pain and the sorrow, the disease, the torment, the sin. We've stood before you, and all that needed to be purified and purged has been purged. And you take us to yourself and cause us to be seated with you in heavenly places. Your finished work. And we cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. To you be glory and honor and power. He who is, who was, and shall ever be. Thank you, Father. Refresh us by your Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. As we saw this morning in Acts chapter 2 that very obviously that Jesus' life was shining brightly in the midst of all of that generation. The scripture tells us very clearly in chapter 2 verse 22 that Jesus was approved of God among them by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him clearly in the midst of all. In the midst of all. And so we saw that these signs and wonders being done in the midst of all the people for all to see was the thing that brought about the knowledge that as the servant of God, he was approved of God. They saw the miracles. They said, no man can do these kind of miracles except God be with him and for him. Amen. And this is the thing that we want to see as our testimony, and not that the emphasis would be that we somehow have a corner on the market, that God is in this place, but our heart's desire is that those around us would know God is available. Amen? He's here, praise God. He's crying out of each one of these living vessels, the temples of God, he's crying forth out of our mouths to those that we come in contact. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, praise God. Don't you know this world's tired? Just like you and I, this world is tired. The wages of sin are too heavy to bear. This burden of sin that man carries around is too heavy to bear. The suicide rate is increasing. Isn't it funny that the easier life becomes, the more affluent we become, the more unsettled and unsatisfied and discontent people are? We come into this hour and men's hearts are failing them for fear, is what the prophet said. And with all of the medical technology, we still see the consequences of stress upon human life. Here in America, it's amazing, you know, it's one of the main killers. And what do we have to be stressed over in this country? Well, it's pretty stressful not to have more than the next guy. You know, having enough doesn't take the stress off. Having all of our needs met doesn't take the stress off. We got to have more. And not even because we think we need more, it's because they have more. So I want more. And so we see a whole society under that bondage and under that power in this generation. Discontent. Isn't that what he said was going to take place in the church in the last days, we read in Timothy? That discontentment that comes into the church, unthankful is the way it's put. And so we live in that kind of an environment, but God has stirred our hearts and he's shared with us to go out and to begin to present this gospel that's free. It bears great testimony, however, as we saw this morning, and I don't want to spend a lot of time in review because I want to finish this up this evening. But we saw how moving in the power of God, that power expressed in signs and wonders and miracles, gave credibility to the gospel, the word that we preach, that Jesus is truly raised from the dead. That we serve a God who's alive and answers prayer, praise God. You know, Paul makes a remark to the pagans and he said, you serve these dumb idols. And he didn't use the word dumb like in stupid. He used dumb in the sense that we realize those that are not able to speak, that are muted. And the one thing he's saying is you're serving gods that are muted. They can't talk to you. They're not alive. But our God is alive and he speaks to us by his Holy Spirit. We fellowship with him. His word is alive in us. It's powerful. It's a revelation, a voice that constantly is coming to us and purifying us and dividing asunder soul and spirit. It discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God is constantly guiding us through his word and by his spirit. We have fellowship with him. We know him and we're known of him. And the world knows nothing about that. All of the other religions know nothing about fellowship and communion and intimacy with their God. But as we're out and we're seeing the word of God confirmed with signs and wonders, we're able to declare to those that are around us, this is that same Jesus who was crucified that God has raised from the dead. His ears are open to the cry of the righteous, praise God. If we ask anything in his name, he will do it. Hallelujah. What a message we have to go out and share. Amen. This is an easy message to share when we see all that accompanies it. As we're out sharing the gospel, too many of us take a negative approach. You know, you need to become a Christian and you need to stop drinking and you need to stop smoking. And it's not about that. You need to fall in love with Jesus and receive the unspeakable gift freely of God's redemption, praise God. Of his justification of your life, that God now loves you and has a great plan for your life. And as you fall in love with Him, all that other nonsense falls off. That's not what it's about. It's about loving Jesus. Amen? It's about accepting that free gift of justification through faith. That's what we're sharing. We're sharing this word of reconciliation. We're sharing that God is no longer angry, that He's been appeased through the blood of Jesus, and that man can come back into His presence and not experience His wrath or His rejection. Just like you are, just as vile as you are. Prostitutes, come. Drug addicts, come. Murderers, come. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. He's made provision for you. And then you get to see some great signs and wonders. I can't tell you the times that as we've shared that message, and then you instantly lay hands upon these, you pray with them the prayer of faith, and by faith they accept Jesus as their Lord, and you lay hands on them and see them instantly sobered, or see them come down off of those drugs instantaneously, never to take it up again. Praise God. I can't tell you the young people we prayed for and saw delivered back in the 60s and 70s during the Jesus movement. Go into the highways and byways and compel them to come. All the religious people may not come. They've got excuses. They're all hung up in their religious ideologies and justifications, but there's still room in my house. Go into the highways and byways. Call the halt and maim. There's still room. Tell them to come, praise God, that my Father's house might be full. That's our job, amen? There's a lot of hurting people out there that want to hear this message. There's a lot of people out there that have no one to love them that need to know God loves them. And His church will love them. And so we, while it's day, continue to bring this message. We saw in Acts chapter 4 that notable miracle that had been done, it could not be denied. Acts chapter 3 tells us they were filled with wonder and amazement. As they saw this miracle take place. And so we saw how the miracle brought recognition to the reality of the divine presence, the resurrected Jesus. We saw in Acts chapter 4 verse 21 that all men that saw this glorified God. And that's where we left off this morning, talking about the fact that as much as we want to see our loved ones healed, as much as those of us who are suffering and broken, mentally tormented, emotionally beat down, physically in pain and agony, the threat of death hanging over us, that we would realize as God has provided our healing and by His stripes we are healed, that He wants to shower us with His presence, His blessings, and His goodness. But it's for more than your deliverance. It's for His glory, praise God. That He might be glorified. Let me remind you that what you're suffering now, He bore first. Amen? He's been there. He's been there. He's been tempted in every way that we're being tempted and tried and tested. Your pain that you experience at this very moment, He bore upon Himself before the foundations of the world. He provided deliverance for us, the Lamb slain from before the foundations of the world. All of it there in Pilate's judgment hall and upon that cross. Then fulfilled that eternal vision. And He cried out, "It's finished, praise God." nothing else to be done. There's not another thing to be done for your healing, your wholeness, your deliverance tonight. It's all done. We just need to receive it, praise God. We just need to embrace it. We just need to begin to boast in the finished work. Call things that are not as though they were as it pertains to our sensory world. And in our praises, let Him be enthroned. And the hard attitude, as we saw this morning of Job, that would declare, I've received so much goodness at the hands of the Lord. Amen? The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when we can enter into His presence with that kind of an attitude, the scripture then says, and God turned the captivity of Job. Gave him back twice what he had. But most importantly, delivered him from himself. And delivered him from his tendencies to justify self while condemning God. And when that deliverance came to him, he became the richest man on the earth, praise God. And so we're looking for the Lord to come and to move in our midst. Let's start off tonight in Acts chapter 14. And we talked about how when these things occurred, that it was very, very interesting to see that time and time again, that people were filled with amazement. They glorified God because of the signs and wonders. Acts 5 said believers were added as these great miracles were occurring in their midst. People coming and seeking His presence. We saw in Acts 5:16 that they brought those that were sick and vexed with spirits and they healed them, everyone. That it would be known that God's here in our presence. So Acts 14, it's a very interesting passage and we're familiar with it. But as Paul and Barnabas came into Iconium, the scripture says that they went together into the synagogue and as normal, they preached the gospel, spoke to a great multitude. And both Jews and Greeks believed. Verse 3, and so a long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And so as these signs and wonders begin to manifest, look, it says they were there a long time, they were preaching, they were teaching the word of God, and then all of a sudden, signs and wonders begin to manifest. And things change, the intensity changes. It says that as this began to happen, the city became divided, and part held to traditional fundamentalists, Christianity. I'll tell you one thing that'll come when we begin to see signs and wonders. The rest of the church will begin to speak evil against us. And that won't be a new thing. The reason this is done is because the question begins to immediately be asked, doesn't it? Well, why aren't you people seeing this? Well, you know, those people, they have a devil. They speak in tongues. This healing stuff is demonic. Jesus said we're going to be persecuted for His name's sake. They hated Him. They're going to hate us. They said He had a devil. They're going to say we have a devil. Now the real issue Jesus reveals was these are a people that want to pipe and have us dance to their tune. Isn't that what Jesus revealed of their hearts? We're motivated by one thing, the Word of God and the glory of God. And so as they're ministering and preaching the Word and then signs and wonders begin to take place, we see then that they move to stone them. And when they were aware of it, they fled and went into Lystra and Derbe. And there they preached the gospel. And as they were here in Lystra, it says that there was an impotent man, verse 8. He was born crippled, never walked. And the same heard Paul preaching the word. And he was steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. That's interesting. That word healed there is sozo. You know, we usually talk about therapeo. We talk about iatome and we realize that this healing here, sozo, it's a wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. And Paul says with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. Think about this as he's just there preaching the word of God. And beloved, be aware of that inner voice. There will be a time in these conversations and in these encounters. Don't just go up and start trying to pull people out of wheelchairs or impose our timing upon certain things. Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. As you see both in the lives of Peter and John and in Paul's lives, they were constantly, their spiritual perception, their spirits were always listening and ready to be directed at any given moment as to how to respond in certain situations. We'll see Peter momentarily moving in this same spirit. And we need to be ready. And when you hear that voice, act on it. Amen? Don't let it get away. And you'll see some of the greatest miracles you've ever seen in your life. And as he's looking and perceiving, he speaks and the man begins to leap and to walk. Look, verse 11, and when the people saw what Paul had done, and this is the point we're trying to make tonight. This is the whole message of the day. People are going to see these signs and wonders and know that God's in our midst. Now the Lord wants to be glorified. And from God's perspective, though He loves us and He wants to do us good, remember in His position of righteousness and holiness, He is distinct. He is other than. He is above. Amen? And He wants to be glorified. Don't lose sight of the fact God is a person. And without ego, and without lust, and without pride, He, knowing who He is, demands respect and honor and praise and worship. And what He does as Himself, expecting everything to respond with worship and thanksgiving. Let me remind you, even the trees clap their hands, praise God. Amen? Even the stones would be expected to cry out, Hosanna, if we don't. You see the point I'm making? God wants you whole so He can be glorified. We got that going for us. That's on our side. God wants you healed. God wants you delivered. God wants this victory for your life. Don't let anything else cause you to think differently. Praise God. And we see it time and time again. When He manifests it, people respond in amazement and praise and wonder. And the same thing happens here. And these miracles begin to occur. The signs begin to occur. And it says that they were there and they steadfastly beheld Him. Stand up and walk. The people now see what Paul had done, verse 11, and said, the gods are come down in the likeness of men. Now they got their theology a little wrong. The proper theology we find again in the book of Acts, and it says it this way, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Amen? But you see, this is one thing we have to contend with. And Peter and John dealt with it there at Beautiful. Why look on us as though by our own power? Amen? But you see, something beyond the norm is going on here, these miracles. And whether it be at Gate Beautiful or whether it be here in Lystra, whatever, when God comes down and manifests, people are going to be taken back. Here they begin to try to worship Paul and say the gods have come into their midst, and they were calling them Paul Mercury and they wanted to call Barnabas Juniper And we realize that this is what's in pagans' hearts. They hadn't clearly known this, the gospel message yet, but I want you to see something. It says that, verse 15, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passion with you. And we preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, the one who made heaven and earth, praise God. And so everybody received the gospel and everybody, you know, was thankful for Paul and Barnabas. Oh no, verse 19, they stoned him and drug him out of the city as dead. Normative Christianity. You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. All those that walk godly. All of those that are walking in the Spirit, in power, in authority, will suffer persecution. Now look what happened. They just left Iconium. They were threatened to be stoned and they fled. God gave them wisdom. God spoke to them, said, you got to know when to fold them. And they left town, praise God. Amen. It's not a lack of faith to run. And they lowered Paul over the walls in a basket because he knew that they were laying wait for him at the gate. Oh, there's a time to stand, but you better know it's the Holy Spirit. Amen? You see, the more intimate we become with God and the more quiet we are, the less apt we are to become presumptuous. Or prideful. And we begin to think that we've done something. And I can dictate things. And my faith will move this mountain. Always, at all times, we live in humility and subordination to that inner voice, the Lordship of Jesus. Because He's working all things for His glory and our good. Some of us would rather stand and get stoned because we're so prideful and think that somehow we've done something just. Some of us would rather suffer. Some of us place asceticism upon ourselves and restrictions upon ourselves, thinking that somehow that brings glory to God. What brings glory to God is let Him be the source of everything you have, whether it be abundance or an abasement. As long as He's the source, He's being glorified, praise God. So much to walking and living in the Spirit. Let me not get off course here. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about Him, He arose and then came into the city. And they preached the gospel. Bold. And they taught many. Hallelujah. And they left and went back and confirmed the souls of the disciples and exhorted them to continue in the faith. And that we, through much tribulation, will enter the kingdom of God. Look at the response. How can you deny that a notable miracle has been done? The gods have come down. You know, as we see these different aspects, it's interesting. Matthew 11, verse 4. Let me show you a couple of verses here that'll be a blessing for us as we look at this particular biblical truth. That miracles testify of the presence and lordship of Jesus. And it's a biblical truth. We've seen it here throughout the book of Acts. One of the great cases here, and we're very familiar with it, is in the life of John. And we're all very familiar with this passage. But let me remind you who John is. John's not only Jesus' cousin. John is confirmed by Jesus Himself to be the greatest prophet born of a woman. John was that forerunner. John was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Amen? John had the first revelation, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But did you know that pressure and hard times can make you doubt? Oh Lord, though everybody else doubts, we've heard this story, haven't we? We spent time on this story already. Lord, not me. No matter how bad the circumstances get, I'll never doubt you, Lord. We've all dealt with the pressures upon us in this walk. We've all had those fiery darts hurled against our minds. Where Satan comes and questions. The reality of God's presence. Of God's care. Of God's justice, of God's goodness. Oh, we've all faced it, and John was no different. Verse 2 of the 11th chapter, when John had heard of the works of Jesus, I must decrease and he must increase. I'm not worthy to tie his sandals. You got to remember how great John was. John shook that whole nation. These people thought that Elijah had returned as they had misunderstood the scriptures. John was the focal point of all believers and covenant people at this time. The leaders hated him. The people loved him. They thought he could be the Messiah. He said, it's not I. The one that's coming after me is greater than I am. That's who's in prison right now. Because some little girl seduced a king. And he said, I'll give you whatever you want. She said, I want John the Baptist's head. Little girls being raised up in their mother's image. Full of seduction and manipulation. And we realize that at this particular time, John being in prison, hears that the kingdom of God is now being preached. And when he heard, he sent some of his disciples. It's amazing how some men were still clinging to John, and John was trying to get them to go to Jesus. Isn't it? We see even later when Paul runs into some believers and they said, well, where have you been baptized? He says, we've been baptized into John's baptism. We haven't even heard that there be a Holy Ghost. And so he sends these two disciples and they came to him with this question. Dude's life's on the line. They're going to cut his head off. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now we all know the passages. Doubts, fears, adversity, turmoil. You don't always think straight in times like this. And Jesus responds to them, go rebuke John. How dare he? Filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Can you imagine that? When Mary walked up, Elizabeth, the baby jumped in her womb. We can sense the presence of God. Amen. Now look what happens. We know the story. He said, go back and encourage John and tell him go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Seems like a simple statement, but everything that we've gone over, all of the scriptures, all of the incidents that we've been referring to today, are this simple. Just go tell him what you've seen and heard. Does that sound familiar? The disciples saying, you can threaten us, you can try to beat us, but listen. How are we going to deny? How can we help but speak the things that we have seen and heard? Amen? What am I saying today? We need to see some more. Oh, we've heard a lot. We've heard other men's testimonies and stories. We read and are thrilled by Smith Wigglesworth and John G. Lake, Mother Eder, we look back in our own lives, many of us, and can testify of great things that we've seen and heard over past generations. But this message is ever current. It's alive. It's dynamic. It's not about yesterday's testimonies. It's about today's testimonies and working, praise God. You go tell him what you've seen and what you've heard. Tell him this. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preach to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Hallelujah. We're talking about the fact that miracles testify of the Lordship of Jesus, that he is Messiah. That's why we should expect it. That's why it should be normative. Are we stirring ourselves in this? Are we going to, you know, we need to meditate upon these things and realize how real that expectation should be. As you go into the Gospel of John, turn over there for just a moment, and John's Gospel is filled with another number of references and inferences to this. The first miracle that Jesus did in John 2 when he turned the water into wine. It says, and this was the beginning of miracles and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. It manifested forth his glory. So we see the motive behind these miracles and something as we're just talking about a wedding here and somebody not being embarrassed. But God's involvement in their life to that intimate of a detail. Taking an opportunity to show himself mighty. And it caused people to believe on him. You go over to chapter 3 and we begin to look in verse 2 and it says, as Jesus had moved into ministry to Nicodemus, and it said, the same came to him by night. And said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles except God be with him. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? And as we begin to move and we pray for people and you go into the stores, I just heard of someone the other day, a testimony, and they had gone in and ministering to two Muslim ladies that were actually working at the counter, and one of them just kind of pushed it off and turned away, and the other one responded with just amazement as they were being testified to, and just said, you know, I want you to know I'm a Christian, and if you have any needs, I'd be happy to pray for you. And the younger one of the two said, oh, please, I do have a need. Would you pray for me? And as they prayed and ministered in the name of Jesus, received a text back later about how thankful they were and somebody showing the love of God to them. And as the prayers are answered, the miracles begin to manifest themselves. It becomes very evident here, as it was in the life of Nicodemus, that they can say, you know, the answers of prayer, God is with you. There's something about that name of Jesus. It is above every name that's named, praise God. Amen? Cannot deny that a notable miracle has been done. John chapter 7, verse 31, we go through and we see again here in this Gospel of John where he speaks and it says, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? You see, they were aware that when Messiah came, he would come in power and authority with signs and wonders. These were people expecting Messiah, and they said, hey man, what this guy is doing, there's been a lot of other people tried to project themselves as somebody, but nobody's done these things in our midst. Will the Messiah do more than this? People are hurting. Especially under Obamacare, spending all that they had and getting none better. What happens when you run out? Now we know the state picks up a bunch of stuff today. How bold we need to become in approaching people in need and pain, sick, distraught, broken. And let them know that the hairs of their head are numbered. And if God cares for the sparrows, how much more for their broken soul? Let me pray for you in the name of Jesus. The scriptures go on in chapter 10 of John. He makes this statement. Miracles testifying of Jesus' lordship. He says in verse 25 of chapter 10. And Jesus answered them and said, I told you and you believed not. You wouldn't believe the works. You didn't believe the works that I do in my Father's name. It's those that bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not my sheep. And as he speaks and reveals these things to them, making it very clear that all of these works vindicate the word that he's speaking to them. Substantiate the supernatural presence of God behind them. He goes on, of course, and I don't want to get off track, but he speaks and says that he's come and gives unto us eternal life so that we would not perish. My Father gave them to me, and he is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I just wanted to remind us of that tonight. Regardless of how adverse circumstances there are, we are the sheep of God. We're protected by his care as the great shepherd, and nobody can ever remove you from his presence, praise God. Not height nor depth. Amen. And so we realize that God is aware and God cares and that it's his manifestation of miracles that confirms the words that are being spoken. Look at verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you might know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. That's powerful. You don't want to believe the words? You can't deny these miracles. You can't deny what your own eyes have seen. You can't deny Lazarus coming out of that tomb. Oh, you may not be serving me right now, but you can't deny that you ate of those 5,000 with those 5,000 of those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. John goes on to say, of these things that Jesus did, if all of them were written down, the world couldn't contain it. All of these things that bear witness to him. Let's finish with that for tonight. Chapter 20. I wanted to get into Peter and Philip tonight, but we just don't have time. What great testimonies those were of the healing of Dorcas and Aeneas, and how the people were stirred. And it says that all saw when Aeneas was healed of the palsy, all saw and believed, praise God. John chapter 20. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing, you might have life through his name. Father, in your word, we see what it means to be a believer, to walk as a Christian, to be a part of the kingdom of God. And they didn't faint at adversity and circumstances. They took on every disease, every demonic individual, the oppressed. They yoked themselves with you, Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And they yoked with you, whom God anointed, and went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. For God, El Shaddai, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rea, Jehovah Nisi, is with us. Refresh us, send us forth in power. We can't let tomorrow go by and just put our head on the pillow and waste another day. Let somebody be confronted with the resurrected Jesus that's in us, that you, Father, would be glorified. And for that, we'll give you all the praise, all of the honor, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, he confirmed the word with signs following. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.